Shall we pray? Dear Father, as we have gathered here this evening, hour of grace, and as we have already heard through the words of the songwriter, that we would not always expect here in this life just joy without sorrow. And Father, thou hast a reason for this. For surely it is so that if trials were not spotted upon our journey, then surely we would go astray. But Father, they are because thou hast loved us and thou still lovest thy children. So Father, we ask even this day that thou would yet reveal unto us through thy word, though we be gathered here few in number, but those who have a longing and a desire, that perhaps there would yet be some crumb, some portion that would affect our hearts, that, Father, it would even touch my cold heart. For, Father, in ourselves we have nothing, but we are thankful that out of nothing thou hast created even this whole world, the whole universe. So grant that, dear Father, that when we have so little or nothing, that thou would take away even that. So then perhaps there would be something that thou would be able to create. So, Father, we plead and ask that thou would be with us this evening. Father, remember the children, remember the youth, who surely on this last weekend of vacation, those that are going to school, oh, Father, spare them in the world of fun and pleasure. Father, guide their footsteps and mine and all of ours to seek those things that are above, so that we would not be left in this world to burn with that eternal fire which is sure to come. Oh, Father, save yet those souls that are perishing, those souls that are unstable, those who would desire this world as well as the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. Oh, Father, strip us of all the things that hinder us from attaining eternal life. Hear us, our Father, which art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. quite often when we sing these songs, such as the first one that we sang there, at 278. Often we with the songwriter are considering those things that are natural. And we have trials here, we completely consider that these are only for our own trial. Little do we consider what the Lamb of God has suffered for us. And truly it is so that we are so engulfed in our own trials, our own troubles, our own woes, that we can hardly bear those burdens. And God has a purpose for that. And he has promised to carry many a burden and many a care. But yet how seldom we remember the suffering and the death of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Even as Ezekiel has written that, "Now when I passed by thee and looked upon thee, behold, thy time was the time of love. And I spread my skirt over thee and covered thy nakedness. Yea, I swear unto thee and enter into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord God, and thou becamest mine. Then washed I thee with water. Yea, I thoroughly washed away thy blood from thee, and I anointed thee with oil." And how he covered us with broidered work and badger skins and fine linen and with silk. God has prepared for us a perfect salvation, a perfect garment. But yet it seemed that our own hearts become so engulfed in our own trials here. Many of you have heard that I had gone for a biopsy of the prostate, where they took about 10 different tests, little nips with a needle. And yesterday the physician called back and he said the last test of all, the 10th one, shows cancer. So I promised different brothers that whatever the results are, that will let everybody know. So we don't know what is ahead. But as he called it, he tried to minimize it, and he said it's only a micro area of cells that is affected. And he said, if you don't want any treatment at all, you don't have to. But we don't know. Each individual is different, and it could travel very fast. And knowing that there's loved ones that have these trials, and God allows them for a reason. Like I told the brothers before that, if God hears my prayer, I've been saying to God for years that draw my heart closer to the suffering and the death of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, so that when he does circumcise our heart, it says that he would turn our hearts away from the world. And this is what we need to pray for, no matter if it would be that our flesh would have to die here and have to be brought to naught, so that that the light of the eternal gospel would be able to be drawn closer to our hearts. And that is what we should pray for. And you know, after those news, we were driving, and it seemed like the songs of Zion were just so precious. Knowing that there's going to be high moments, there's going to be low moments. But yet God has promised through them all that he will care for us. I'd never read a word, a place in God's word where it says in this way that that he will guide He will be our guide even unto death. And even unto the brethren who are sickly, those who have cancer, those who are in trial, be comforted by the word of God. You know, it seemed like yesterday morning I was constantly on my heart just to sing that, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. All the people rejoice. And it was just, it lasted for half a day. So we can thank God for trials. And we can understand why he allows them, is because he wants us to be saved. You know, when God's word says that way, that the riches, pleasures, and the cares of this life choke the word, they choke. And when someone is half choked, they can't see right, they can't hear well, and neither can they see to journey well. So God has allowed those kind of things so that we would be taken away from those things that choke the word. But what do we hear today? There is a loud cry to give me more of this world. What does God have to do before we would turn away from the things and the pleasures of this life? Oh, may God speak and continue to cry, those travelers that come here often. Cry to God again for a revival. Cry again for an awakening so that our hearts would be torn away from this life. Even though we should live yet a few years, we know that the coming of Jesus is so near that even those dying of cancer may not die of cancer, but they are going to be lifted from this world. So close is the end of all things. So let us allow that God will continue to prune the branches that need to be pruned, even though it hurts. And those kind of things are many, perhaps even today, as there is on most Labor Days, there's Labor Day weekends, there's auto races and those kind of things that draw the hearts of the young. And we noticed that the lines for communion were only about a third of what they are usually. Where they are, God only knows. But may it be that our hearts could be turned to things above. And if we would take heed just with the word and the preaching, then we wouldn't have to suffer. But if he loves us, he's going to try us. He's going to bring heavy afflictions. That's why he says that if we are caught in the things of this life, the riches of this world, then plan for trial. Because he loves us and he's going to try us. And he's going to draw us back somehow. But then there's a time coming when he will not call us anymore. The end of all things is at hand. Today when I opened God's word, there was one thing especially that kind of hit my eye, and I searched many places for it early this morning, and that was concerning the east wind. You know, some of the brothers here have spoken of maybe only a matter like that, and God has opened it preciously, but I don't know what God will reveal to us. But anyway, I'll read from the 17th chapter of Ezekiel, the first 10 verses thereof, in Jesus' name, with that hope that perhaps God can speak to our hearts in that way that we will be loosened from the things of this life, and that we would take heed of those words, and that in all these words of the prophets, we often hear the voice of Jesus and the heart of Jesus in these matters. The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, put forth a riddle, and speak a parable unto the house of Israel, and say, Thus saith the Lord God, A great eagle with great wings, long-winged, full of feathers, which hath divers colors, came unto Lebanon, and took the highest branch of the cedar. And he cropped off the top of his young twigs, and he carried it into a land of traffic. He set it in a city of merchants. And he took also the seed of the land and planted it in a fruitful field. He placed it by great waters and set it as a willow tree. And it grew and became a spreading vine, of low stature, whose branches turned toward him, and the roots thereof were under him. So it became a vine and brought forth branches and shot forth sprigs. There was also another great eagle with great wings and many feathers. And behold, this vine did send her roots toward him and shoot forth her branches toward him, that he might water it by the furrows of her plantation. He was planted in a good soil by great waters, that it might bring forth branches and it might bear fruit, that it might be a goodly vine. Say thou, thus saith the Lord God, shall it prosper? Shall he not pull up the roots thereof and cut off the fruit thereof, that it wither? It shall wither in all the leaves of her spring, even without great power of many people to pluck it up by the roots thereof. Yea, behold, being planted, it shall prosper. Shall it not utterly wither when the east wind touches it? And it shall wither in the furrows where it grew. Amen. It seems when we first read this that there's very little here for us. But I first began to read this when I had a letter from one of the brothers with whom I commune with. And he just happened to plop it into his letter. And it seemed that it touched my heart. For the word of God came unto the prophet this way, that the Son of Man put forth a riddle and speak a parable unto the house of Israel, and say, thus saith the Lord God, a great eagle with great wings, long winged, full of feathers, which had divers colors, came unto Lebanon, and took the highest branch of the cedar, and cropped off the top of his young twigs, and carried into the land of traffic. He set it into a city of merchants. This reminds me, as we have spent quite a bit of time with Paul Madla out west, who has I believe I spoke of it here before, he has a little shack down in his field, not too close to the house, because if it should go off, he would possibly blow up his whole property there. And one thing he does for the government, for the state and the federal government, is to climb up a high tree where there are eagles nearby, near the living waters, where they can fish. And he sets the dynamite there and pulls the wires down and gets afar off, and he blows off the top. Exactly what the eagles love to make their nests. For how many of us has God had to blast away the high things of our life that we love? And when God does this, it hurts. Because we would love to have continued in the fun and the pleasure where we once lived. As I mentioned before, God had already allowed that the fall before, I had received awakening and found peace with God. And the first thing I did when I went home in the winter time to visit, I asked my mom that, do you think it would be right for me to go with the other boys? They asked me to go down to the D Stadium to watch my favorite hockey team. And oh, how my heart wanted to be there. She said, well, you know, son, I can't force you to stop from going there. And I was really tossed between following the Lord Jesus, the enemy of the soul was working hard. So anyway, I walked to the neighbors, and they were going down with their pickup. So in the winter, we sat in the back of a fairly new international pickup in those days, in the 30s, and maybe it was in the 40s. But anyway, I went, and I thank God for what my eyes were able to see there. Between the cursing and the fighting, and the beer bottles that were flying on the ice, and one of the record penalty games we had ever seen in the area, I don't think I could stand more than about 20 minutes. I went to sit in a car. I believe it was with my brothers on that particular trip. So I asked for the keys, and I went to sit in the car. Couldn't wait to get home to speak to my mom. God had clipped off the top of that tree. And little by little, he cut off the twigs and those things that often grow toward the bottom of the tree that are hard. You that have been in the woods, like our family had logging operations, and the only way to cut those sprigs from a hemlock is turn the axe around and use the hammer side, and then watch your eyes for the splinters. It's so hard, they're so hard. They leave so hard from that tree. So such a riddle here. The prophet was able to behold. And he said, thus saith the Lord God, a great eagle with great wings, long winged, full of feathers, which had many colors, came unto Lebanon and took the highest branch of the cedar. Who was it that clipped that? Surely it was the work of God. Through that bird, through that servant, that had bright eyes and could behold afar off. And then from there, he took also the seed of the land and planted it in a fruitful field. He placed it by great waters and set it as a willow tree. So in our life, I only gave you one example of those things that have engulfed our hearts, and they have filled our hearts so completely that we could not even consider matters eternal. And as it was before these days, when God had at times spoken to me after the years of confirmation, from 15 to 17, when I finally graduated at 17 and joined the Navy. And I was so free to go to danger that I had no fear of God at all. So we can imagine how heavy a matter that is for a parent. You who have children now who are in that condition that I was, who ran wherever I felt like it, from one dance hall to the other, trying to look for worldly mates, to the theaters, the bowling halls, races, carnivals, you name it, whatever was available, I was there. But then, where was the fear of God, and how can the fear of God then become a power that would affect the hearts of the young that may be here tonight that are running in those ways? How can we reach their heart? I don't believe that it was from the reading of God's word that affected my heart way out there. What creates within man the fear of God? So they begin to consider that where are we going to spend eternity? It seems that the only way is that God narrows our road so narrow that we know that there's only, as it was with me, there was only one place to go, and that was down. And some places that ocean was 6 miles deep. So I considered that journey in that branch of the service as one of the best things that ever happened to me, as far as where God was able to awaken me and begin to pluck off the high cedars and those branches which were a hindrance to my soul salvation, even to begin to consider that where is the fear of God. And then I begin to cry unto him that spare my soul, spare my life. Everyone doesn't have the same experience, but that happened to be mine. By one way or another, the law of God must undress us to such a place that there is nothing left of ourselves. Only then is the grace of God, which we know is sweet and precious, but we have no way to reach it. We have no access. It is not in our power. So God had to place me in that kind of a condition. So whatever way God would choose to work in your life or in mine to keep us upon the way, then we need to ask God that, oh, please do it. Even if we have to suffer here, God is speaking to somebody's heart. He's speaking to our children or our children's children who are going astray. So just ask God for patience, as with my wife, I have asked that God would give patience to her, to me, to our children, if it should flare up into that kind of a thing, even though the doctor said you will surely die of something else, but we never know. We don't know if we will even make it home tonight. But we are, regardless, we don't have to fear as I did then. There is such a peace and a comfort that comes to the heart, knowing that to live is Christ and to die is gain. Those portions of Scripture are so sweet and so precious. But those hearts that are not prepared, oh, may it be that he would speak unto you. But that somehow he would lead us through this veil of sorrow, of temptation. And he must bring many types of trial. You know, when God sends an east wind, we know how he tried Pharaoh. Pharaoh didn't know what that dream meant when he saw the slim ears of corn. Then he saw the fat cattle and the skinny cattle. He didn't know how to find help for that dream. And he tried those who he thought were wise and would be able to help him. But then someone remembered Joseph in the prison. Even if you have to be in prison because of your speaking to your loved ones or preaching in this congregation, and you become hated, remember how it was for Joseph in God's time. He spoke through Joseph. And it was as if he was a picture of the Savior. We know how it was for Jeremiah when he was dropped under the floor in a hole where there was no windows. All he could do was sigh unto God, and God delivered him. So if you are placed in these dungeons, do not become weary, because God is working. And when people become troubled, when there's a lot of noise, and God's word is beginning to affect the hearts, rejoice. Because when there is only lukewarmness, where there is such a word that it doesn't affect anyone, no one gets angry, then something must be wrong. We are in that kind of a lukewarm Christianity, where God needs to shake not only the earth, but heaven also. And that he would shake the heavens of our heart, so that we would begin to consider that what is the real motive of our life? What do we desire? What are we looking for? Is it for joy in this world? Or has God darkened our eyes? As I was reading out of Lestadius this morning, and he said that when eyes are blinded, there is only one that can give eyesalve and give eyesight. When the ears no longer hear, there is only God to do that work through the Lord Jesus, to provide the way of salvation and redemption through the blood of the Lamb. And the only reason why we have a need of that is because we are sinners. But many ask today that, where are the sinners today? And what is a sin? I don't recall of repenting of sin for a long time. Is it because of the preaching? Is it because of the sleepiness of my own heart? What is the reason for this? But may God send an east wind so that he would reveal himself when things have dried up. Even as it was for the place where I worked, we had everything going for us. It looked impossible that such a trial would come that I would get called in the office and say that I'm afraid we have to lay you off. You know, those things hurt for a while, but God has a reason. We cannot trust in the things of this life, for they do not last. None of them. Eventually, they will be gone. And if they last until the last day, they're going to burn. So let us not trust in those things that turn our hearts away so that we cannot see the way or even care to see the way that leads us home. You know, it was also an east wind that God used to send quails to those Israelites when they had no food. So the east wind, I don't believe for God's children, has ever been that which is bad for his people. Even though it be through trial, even though he tries us with much food, and then when he sees that we are gathering more than we need, then he takes that away because we are trusting in those things that are of this world. So concerning the things of this passing world, I've often thought of this, that may it be that our hearts would not be found in those places where we are afraid to leave this life. Let us not defend those things that are of this world, for they will not stand. They might stand for us for a while in this life, but they will not stand at the judgment. Also, there were other places. Jeremiah speaks of one place that when the east wind blew, right after that east wind blew, the enemy spoke unto him and said unto those people unto whom Jeremiah had preached, and the reason why he was placed into the dungeon. And he said this way, that we will not hearken unto thy words. We will not hearken unto thy words. They thought they were talking to a man. No, they were talking against God. And so it is today. If it should be that way, that as we now are considering calling speakers into our midst, we are doing something we have never done before in Christianity. Two meetings, 2 weeks apart. Perhaps it's good that we would examine whether they have television or whether they uphold that doctrine that is in our little books there, the doctrine of living Christianity, that it would not be those who have left this Christianity, which many today are flirting with, those who have joined the ecumenical movement. Pray God that such would not be here to scatter the flock. May it be that we would not be using politics so that we would begin to bring a big crowd here who is going to have this one come who I want. Perhaps to settle that whole thing, we should put those names into a dish and have a little child pick it. Then all striving would cease. So in all of these things, even concerning the preaching of the Word of God that would awaken men, that would begin to touch our life, our pleasure life, cry to God that he would send yet a revival, that he would send such men that would cry out in these last days that we would not have to perish. That these things could be done, not in the old Adam, but with a cry upon our heart that, oh Father, spare us. We are perishing. My heart anyway loves the things of this world. And when I consider someone that would preach against those things that I love, I wouldn't want to hear him either, except I must drag myself here. I was reading recently, sharing it with one of the brothers in 2 Samuel, where he speaks in that first chapter that the beauty of Israel is slain upon the high places. Can you imagine what the prophet saw? The beauty of Israel, the Lord Jesus himself. He was slain upon the high places of Golgotha's hill. Do you see beauty there where the blood of Jesus flows from his head, from his hands, his feet, and his side? Yes, for a sinner who is bankrupt. Oh, what a beauty it is that we would see this Lord Jesus. He who was slain also in these high places. I don't claim to fully understand this place that I read, but perhaps it is speaking of Jesus here. Maybe speaking of him as it was revealed in the book of Samuel, that from that high place, that top, that we feel in one day. And he cropped off the top of his young twigs and he carried into the land of traffic and set it in the city of merchants. Yes, we have been and we are all like merchants in this world. Some prosper little and some more in our merchant dealings. But nevertheless, God has sent his Son here among us so that we also could hear through the living and the eternal gospel. And he took also the seed of the land and planted it into a fruitful field. He placed it by great waters and set it as a willow tree. And we have seen the willow tree, how its branches weep, and they hang toward the ground. So it is when that living seed has begun to work within our own heart. It has first brought sorrow over our wretchedness. Not only did Jesus die for our sins, as Brother Bill read this morning, but he died for our sin. Not only the deeds that we have done that we can count and register and try to remember and put down on paper, but because we are completely sin. He has died for the sin of the whole world, not the sins of the whole world. Because man was completely lost, not only his deeds that he has endeavored to do. And it grew and it became a spreading vine tree, spreading vine of low stature. Who do we condescend to today? When I left for the service, I don't believe there was anyone that was living in such high esteem of myself as I was. I was fearless. I believe the prodigal felt the same way when he left his father's house. But I'm thankful that it was the same father that received him when he had spent everything, that I was also able to return to the Father's house and there find peace. So we don't have to teach people to be good and have high marks and high esteem. No, it must be just the other way with God's word. God has to strip from us everything that we have. And we see how small he was himself. It grew and it became a spreading vine of low stature, whose branches turned toward him, and the roots thereof were under him. So it became a vine and brought forth branches and shot forth sprigs. You know, when we go to pick fruit from a tree, as many of us have experienced already, we don't even know where the strength comes to that tree when we go pick the fruit. We're standing on the roots, like it says here. The moisture has to come from above and penetrate into the soil. I've talked with different ones that why is it there is such a good crop of so many things this year in a day of drought? We picked 100 pounds of peaches from a little 3-year-old tree that could not handle that weight. Though I cut back and I cut back, but I was so covetous. I wanted all of it to ripen. And so we are in this life. But I've considered the reason why it was, so with the berries, so with many other crops, is because it was dry enough for the little heavenly bees to pollinate this year. It was dry enough so that pollination took place and the blessing came regardless. Even though in many, as in the berries, the long rows, I didn't even put one drop of water. And yet the best crop we have ever had. So we see that those matters are not in our hands. If our children are to walk in truth and are to return from the far country, those that have children out there and you weep for them, you are losing your health because of them. Oh, that we could cast our cares upon him for he careth for thee. Don't try to do it yourself. You'll ruin your health. You have no power. But cry unto him where our forefathers have cried. Those who have cried for us when we have gone into the far country. The Father's heart is still a heart of love. Would the prodigal have felt free to return if the father had given him a kick and said, get out of here? No. I saw my mother's tears when I left for the war. She got left home weeping, and a brother drove me to the railroad station. Those also burned out there. So continue to cry, dear parent, to that eternal parent, to that father who waits for our return. What does it take that God would make us even as this tree of low stature? What does he have to lop off from us to make us small? It says the branches turn toward him. Yes, he reaches out even to the greatest of sinners. It said it became a vine and it brought forth branches and shot forth sprigs. Not without first having to be trimmed. Yet there was another eagle with great wings and many feathers. And behold, this vine did bend her roots toward him and shot forth her branches toward him, that he might water it by the furrows of her plantation. It was planted in a good soil by great waters, that it might bring forth branches and that it might bear fruit, that it might be a goodly vine. Say thou, thus saith the Lord God, shall it prosper? Shall he not pull up the roots thereof and cut off the fruit thereof, that it wither? It shall wither in all the leaves of her spring, even without great power of many people to pluck it up by the roots. Yea, behold, being planted, shall it prosper? Shall it not utterly wither? When the east wind toucheth it, it shall wither in the furrow where it grew. You know, when God sends this kind of a wind, it dries up everything that man tries to do, what the enemy tries to do. I feel that this eagle has tried all of us. And it didn't take many people, it didn't take any people to pull it up by the roots. It had to be the work of one more powerful than the enemy of the soul. And if it had not been for this power, where would you be? Where would I be? I'd probably be in the bottom of the Pacific. But from there to the fires of eternal hell. That four-letter word we don't hear too much about today because we kind of fear it ourselves, even though we say we are Christians, we have peace with God. How much more then to try to tell the world and to tell the ungodly we are afraid? But may God yet show us through someone, through the word, that there is a living hell to fear. And anyone that has not been born anew, whose heart has not been changed, but still loves and demands the things of this life, Don't touch my life. That's what I want to hear. Oh, Father, speak to us regardless, so that we would not have to spend eternity without Christ in the bottomless pit, so that we could rejoice with Him and be partaker of Him. We know how it was with Jonah. He also had an east wind. He found rest. He was bitter with God when all the city where he was sent to preach in Nineveh repented. Somehow his pride was hurt. And then God allowed a gourd temporarily to rise, and he was sitting in the shadow, in the shade of that. Isn't that where we would always like to sit? Like I mentioned before, at haymaking time, I remember how that easily I would get like a heat stroke or sunstroke. I would begin to vomit from that high heat and the hard work in the 100 acres of hay that we had to make. Every chance I had, I went to sit under the shade tree. And I felt it was good for my own health. But being my dad was gone, my older brothers would say, "Lazy, get over here." And that's what God has to do. He had to do with Jonah. He allowed the east wind to blow, and that gourd fell and it withered. And then God was able to speak to his heart. So may God yet send those kind of warm breezes. You know, we have often heard from this place that may God send a warm breeze from Eden so that our hearts would again be warmed. But little do we realize that so many things that God has to allow the east wind to wither first before us, before we begin to search for those things and seek for those things that are eternal. And we become offended with the Word of God. We become offended with the preachers. Little do we realize that we are touching the apple of God's eye. So we need to ask God that He would yet send such a wind. And as He spoke then to Jeremiah, He said that, "Let us hearken." They said, "Let us not hearken to the words." And Jeremiah cried out that, "Hearken unto the words of the Lord." God sent those words. And many times we hear that there are so many that are troubled, that there are many hurts in their heart. You know, we who are older have felt those hurts too. But there's only one place that those hurts will be remedied, where peace and joy can come to a troubled heart that is hurting. And that is that we would resign ourselves, give in, and turn unto the Lord with our whole heart. And then true peace can come. Then the true joy of salvation. We need not fear, no matter if we should die in an accident on the way home tonight, if we should die of a heart attack from pneumonia, where most people, even that have cancer, have hardly ever died of cancer. I've had 3 in our family, but they have died of something else, pneumonia, or the heart has failed. So in whatever way God would call us from this life, may it be that we would be fully, fully set upon a solid rock, Christ Jesus. And we who speak, we don't have words how to do this, except God's word has said, preach the word, be instant, in season and out of season. And perhaps God will send that east wind upon which Jesus will come upon the clouds when the eastern sky opens. It has always been an east wind. I remember when we moved here, Barbara Seppala told us that if the storms come from the west, they won't be too bad. But watch out when they come from the east. And so it is spiritually. And if you want to look on your little Bible computer, you will find many, many more things about the east wind and how it comes and dries up everything that man has prepared, including the crops, including the fruit, and everything that man has of himself. And then he comes with a soft, still small voice, and he speaks unto our hearts, put away every weight and sin that so easily besets us, and turn our hearts toward those things that are eternal. May God provide that for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord, bless us and keep us. Lord, make thy face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. Lord, lift up thy countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.
The board will meet Tuesday evening at 7:30 here at the church. We'll gather Thursday at 7:30 for a church service. After the service, there'll be a congregational meeting to discuss preachers for Christmas and Easter. And then next Sunday, Sunday school begins at 9:30, church following at 10:30. There'll be a meal at the church. Group 2 is serving. We're asked to bring spaghetti and fruit for dessert. After the meal, we'll have a service at 2 o'clock. In closing, tonight we'll sing song 211 from the small book.